this is an excerpt from my book, The Last Hill Walker. The place that we join the narrative is at the end of our first day, Martin and I, on the Pennine Way, and we're descending exhausted towards the little village of Croden. So here is an extract from The Last Hill Walker. After several hours of trudging through the evil peat and dodging the boggy man-traps, we finally descend to the road and stagger to the hostel at Croden. It's a blessed relief to get out of our sodden, peat-stained clothes and head for the warmth and bustle of the hostel kitchen, where we can actually cook a meal. The kitchen is full of walkers jostling for the gas hobs around the room. I am cooking sausages, which is about the limit of my culinary ability. I'm cooking them in a frying pan big enough to feed several scout groups. They do nothing small in youth hostels. There are signs everywhere. Some proclaim where pans are to be stored, others which fridge can be used, yet more indicate where spoons and knives must be placed after use. Over the sink, there is one sign larger than all the others. In letters nearly a foot high, it declares, "Saucepans must be washed immediately after cooking." Despite the hubbub, one voice, a woman's, rises above all others. This is the hostel warden, barking orders at everyone in range. Youth hostel wardens are a strange breed. They come in all shapes and sizes, but are united by two things, a love of regulations and an obsessive desire to exert an iron rule over the hostelers in their charge. Martin takes his courage in both hands and approaches the warden. She is a large, stout woman, with blonde hair in braids and the suggestion of a moustache beneath her broad nose. Excuse me, that sign, does it mean we have to let our food go cold while we wash the pans? The question's innocent enough, but the woman fixes him with a glare that would make Medusa proud. She heaves her considerable bosom in outrage and points to the sign, then says, "Immediately!" "Oh yes," Martin stammers. "Immediately means right away then." "Immediately!" Her bosom rising and falling with each word. "Means immediately!" With that, she turns and charges off to seek out some poor unfortunate who has just placed a spoon in the wrong drawer. That night, we dine on cold sausages. Later, grateful not to be sleeping in our scanty tent, we climb into bed, happy to be dry and warm. I close my eyes for what feels little more than a moment before I'm dragged into instant wakefulness by trumpets and bassoons blasting out inches from my head. For a few seconds, my stunned brain can't make sense of what's happening. Then I realise the awesome sound that has woken me is music, and the ride of the Valkyries is issuing forth at 90 decibels from a speaker inches from my head. "Jesus Christ!" I cry out, realising that the whole night has passed and it's morning. As I cower beneath the sheets, the door bursts open, and a pair of bosoms charge into the room, closely followed by their owner, the warden. She tears open the curtains and light floods into the room. "Time to get up!" With that, she and her bosoms are gone, leaving everyone in the room trembling in the aftermath of a Wagnerian nightmare. God knows what would have happened if she'd entered the room and some poor soul had been enjoying a secret cigarette by the open window. He would have been nailed to the wall of the hostel as a hideous blood eagle warning, with, of course, a sign beneath his mangled corpse. "No smoking means no smoking." Long distance walking is about rhythm. Not only the rhythm of one foot in front of the other, but also the rhythm of the land. Hills follow dales, valleys follow summits, descents follow climbs. The days go by, and as the miles drift beneath our boots, we cease to struggle with the country and learn to be part of it. There's something unique about taking a linear, multi-day journey on foot. The day walker starts and finishes in the same spot. After his walk's end, he will return to the familiar, to his routine, to a place where nothing has changed. But if you take a long journey, let's call it a trek, your home comes with you on your back. Every day's end is different, and every morning you wake up somewhere else. The routine you follow is decided in a dialogue between you and the land you walk through. A trekker is constantly asking questions. How long will it take to get to the next shelter? Can I make it to the next village? Will I run out of food? The answers to those questions decide where the trekker sleeps, the view he sees when he wakes in the morning, what challenges the day will bring. As we move further and further north, the character of the land changes. We leave behind the dark, cloying peat of the Peak District, cross wild moorlands with names like Withens Height, Lum's Tower, and even over the Wuthering Heights of Bronte fame, or at least the place that inspired that fictional location. The day we cross is cold, bleak, and windswept. Heathcliff must have been a pretty hardy soul to live in a place like this. Always heading northwards, we cross the limestone pavements of Malham Cove and head on towards the biggest hills on the route, Penny Ghent and Cross Fell. Now, even that falls beneath our feet. We arrive in the small village at its foot, too late to catch the only shop, and are compelled to dine on a piece of mouldy cheese I find at the bottom of my rucksack with a couple of packets of peanuts. Such privations are commonplace to us now. One evening we experience the ultimate luxury. In a scene from the famous Five Go Mad on the Pennine Way, we gorge ourselves with sandwiches and lashings of jam provided in the kitchen of a farm where we buy a meal. The farmer's wife keeps bringing us bread and jam while her husband sleeps, oblivious before the peat fire, his dog at his feet. We eat plateful after plateful, miles of walking giving us boundless appetites. Eventually, out of politeness, we decline the fourth plateful and head out into the night to find the local pub. The night is bright with stars. We swallow pints of the local brew, Old Peculiar. We relax in the knowledge that the Scottish border is not far away and the end of our quest is drawing near. That's a little excerpt, a little snippet, I'd like to call it maybe, of The Last Hill Walker. The Last Hill Walker is now available to pre-order on Amazon, and it's also, that's as a hard copy, you know, paperback, but you can also get it as a Kindle. It's actually released on the 31st of May of this year. That's 2017, if you happen to be wondering about one on the internet. Do order it. I think you'll enjoy it. It's funny, it's entertaining, and it's really about my life over 40 years in the mountains of Britain, travelling to Scotland. I think it's a good read, so I hope you enjoy it. Do get in touch with me, do talk to me, and hope you'd like and share this page, and I hope to hear from you soon. Bye bye.